Jane Bible Church, December 22nd, 2013. Presbyterian Church set to following the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise, and the Bible without qualification, and all of this by faith today. The Babe, Matthew 2. Direction, dynamics, and desire. There is the desire of the nations, as noted by Haggai, who also noted that God was going to shake the heavens and shake the earth. It is better to be awake before shaken, whether it be getting up late in bed or rising late to the truth. The Lord was in time, exactly on time. The Magi were coming. So we look at the worship of the Magi, the heading, the Babe. The wise men from the east came to worship. I want you to dwell on the word worship. The one born king of the Jews. That's how they described it. Long way to come. To worship. The king of a little country subordinated to Roman occupation. Wasn't it? But they did it. When God is concerned, the unique is the natural, because he is supernatural. Having seen his star in the east, that had, it would seem, from the evidence with Herod's slaughter, his massacre of the kids, a long time coming. Now, the Greek word for worship can hold various senses. It can mean to bow in recognition of authority. That is the one used in all the instances I have in mind. To recognize position. Or it can also mean to worship in the sense of Matthew chapter 4 in terms of the temptation of Christ. When the very same word is used by Christ concerning the point that God must be... that one must worship God alone. So the word has the highest possible meaning, and it depends on the party to whom it is referring. The devil uses the same word of himself as the one desiring to receive worship from Christ. There is a blasphemous build-up, if you like. He wants God to worship him. He's not satisfied with less. That's the point about the devil. He is never satisfied, so never deal with him by bowing down to any of his ministers, agents, whether they be secular or whether they be religious. Never accept anything from him. It doesn't matter whether you're going to be killed or wounded or miseducated or kept out of the professional classes. Never bow to that. Depends then on the circumstances, but in the case of the wise men from the east, we cannot entirely tell except by implication. They certainly seem to give some relevance to Matthew 16:25 and Luke 14:27 and following, that is to say, they forsook a great deal to come. If it took a huge distance to bring treasures to put before the coming king of tiny little Israel, well, not as tiny as it is now, but still subjected to Roman occupation. They must have had some very fierce reasons. The evidence is that they gave up much. Indeed, it would be most remarkable if all they had in mind was the unspiritual appearance of a little nation. Why come? Why bring gifts? Why spend so long? Why be so extremely astute, watching the king, watching the way? The devil was active. They were warned. The Holy Family was warned. They go out. Don't see Herod. The family goes to Egypt. As in Revelation 12, there was the tremulous misuse of power. Tremulous, because these were the things of the uttermost. Some might tremble, but not these ones. They did as they were told, and they were safe. You too do as you are told, and you will be safe. There is nothing I would hate worse than to be unfaithful. Not to finish what I am given to do. Not to be a loyal servant. To twist and turn and equivocate and give up. When you are directed by God himself, there is no need to be terrorized or even to lose calm in the end. The wise men went as instructed and were safe. The holy family went as instructed to Egypt and were safe. And it was all as governed by God. If you are governed by God, you may fear no government by man. They followed the light that they had been given with august ceremony and profound ambition. We must do no less. We must have a reverence for God. We must delight in the fear of the Lord because it is clean. It's as if all the impurities are burnt out. I notice even with children, not that this is the first generation thus, but is perhaps the worst, the lack of reverence, the lack of respect, the lack of a keen mind, a controlled soul, a disciplined spirit, a desirous thrust for knowledge and accomplishment and to perform for the glory of the God who built them up as the most complex factories ever built by anyone anywhere on this earth. The human body is that. It's no use pretending all this nonsense that is talked. If you talk of definition, there is no greater design. If you don't talk of definition, you are dealing with fairyland. These are the simple facts. Christ went on to grow up, staggered them with his wise understanding when he was merely 12, and left them all to undergo the castigation and the crucifixion before the resurrection that broke death as part of his divinely presented plan. Himself in the councils of eternity before he came, he now had to come to the land of temporality and death and bear it, and after 40 days of instruction, leave. The babe. Why should the babe be worshipped? Well, it represents the potency and reality of the incarnation. God, in this means, has erupted into the reality of our world. He has breached all the barriers, much more than any breaching of a sound barrier. He has brought himself from the infinitude of his spiritual eternity into the limitations, not only of the format of a creature, but of course the spirit remains the same, God never changes, but into one of a lowly caste and character, so that when he astonishes the world with the power that can heal thousands and battle no disease or spirit and rather cast them out, so when he acts like that, he doesn't have a handle to his name. He doesn't come as Lord in the carnal sense. He comes as Lord in the spiritual sense with no extras added. There's not even any beauty that he should have a film star-like adoration group behind him. It stands on what he does, on what he says, and how he does it, and how he says it, and how he fulfills specifications completed many centuries before he came to erupt into our practical reality and bear the stairs as he's crucified and break the bonds as he comes out and make a donation of eternal life, not like the keys, the plastic keys given to slaughtered kids. By the Islamics when they were fighting each other in the war between Iran and Iraq, which went on for years. Not that deceitful, deceptive nonsense, plastic keys open. What? Symbolize what? The Islamic culture has started with the invasion of Mecca. That's been its crucial point. That's where it got purchased. By what? By force. In what way did they turn to his religion? Through force. In what way did they nearly take Europe? By force. And they have threatened and used it again and again. What is using force, whether it is by the Roman Catholic Inquisition, whether it is by communism, or by Islam, or anything else, there are plenty of them, is not using logic or truth. Love cannot be forced. Faith cannot be forced. You may force the lips, you cannot force the understanding. This is, therefore, deception, profound deception, and anyone who bows to force, saying, oh, it doesn't matter, is asking for judgment by the truth, which does matter and never varies, in time or eternity, and it will constitute a judge. This is the age of no morals. This is a time in which, in withdrawing worship from the eruption of God into the reality of the babe and all that followed, this is a time when many will accept anything except the morals of God. They are prohibitive. They are pronounced against with a mounting ferocity and frenzy. You can believe anything and do anything, so long as not too many people are upset too much about it. This is the age of no morals, except the moral that you must exclude the morals of God. If you do not exclude the morals of God, you are immoral, you're shocking, you're a reactionary. You're going back into the traditionalized past. You're going into the unformulated future. If you hold to the morals of God, we came very close to the point when you might be lassoed by the law if you dared to apply the morals of God to people who, for example, ignored the way sexual production goes on and wanted to do it differently in a way which was not productive of babies. If you dared to criticize this as being illogical, physiologically dangerous, and biblically absolutely handled a curse, if you dare to say anything like that. If you dare to use the freedom they are asking for themselves, you might indeed have faced re-education just as they do in China. The age of no morals. No fear of the Lord. Government by the godless. Well, it is good to know that even Russia has turned against propaganda for the so-called gay movement. 1 Timothy 1:10 tells you what God thinks of it, putting it with manslaughterers and the like. Even Russia, once a communist, once a communist country, subservient to folly, forcing its way with ferocity which may have even been an advance on the Inquisition, if possible. Even Russia is refusing to have gay propaganda. It has laws. It is shaming the increasingly willowy and unwise West. Many are falling into the total insult to God. What you can see with your eyes, understand by your reasoning and perception, namely the way of conception, not of the mind, but of babes, other babes. What you read in the Bible is all one. To turn this away is not only to deny design when it is apparent, and if this isn't design, nothing is on this earth at the practical level. It is the greatest exhibit of meeting the definition of design. The human being, the human procreation, all the other things associated. That's even before you get to the mind and the spirit of man. Sodom may or may not have had laws, which made it a crime to criticize perversion. If they didn't, and just practiced multiple sexual predation and sodomy, if that was all they did, then the modern age would be in advance on it, or coming close to it even in this country. Well, Jude has a few words to say through the inspiration of God in verse 7. What of such people as those of Sodom? They, quote, suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. In the end, if you won't have the truth, you're burnt up by it. You don't agree with it, it slaughters you, it's there, you can't alter it. Judgment, we learn, is according to truth. People who tell you there's no truth are telling you it's true that there's no truth. When will this imbecility cease? But it's because of the blindness which comes when God being removed, your physical eyes and your spiritual eyes can no longer work together. Mocking God is what it is. It may be good exercise for the voice, but not for the stability of the heart or the safety of the soul. You don't have to worship God, but if you don't want to do so, don't be deceived. You're not a god. And if you don't want to share the honors, good. But if you do, it's simple theft. You're stealing from God the correct use of the apparatus given, and you're elevating yourself to equality with God to say, no, I don't think so, Maker. I think we'll use it this way. Can you conceive of speaking that way to a king, to an emperor? That's nothing. Speak that way to the one who made you what you are so that you can think and talk back, as so many do, is a sort of unillustrious horror filled with serfdom to sin. You may desire, on the other hand, to worship God with all the heart, that it is him only, as Christ told Satan, that you want to treat in that way. No one else do you want to worship. You don't want to be a servile, stricken, contemptible object, worshipping other creations. How low can you sink? You worship what some sinner thinks. Are you out of your mind? You would make yourself a voluntary slave to some other sinner and worship him or his ideas or his ideology or his country or his military forces or his psychological attacks on your soul. You would do this. Many have escaped slavery with desire. Are you going to make this outrageous humbling of the state which God has given you so that you voluntarily worship what is obviously not God? Can you think so low? One is both your teacher and your father, even God. I love to worship God because he's worth it. He's got it. He's there, eternal, good, sacrificial, kind, never bending the truth. It's a great thing to worship this great one. But to God only would I dream of giving any worship. It would be a sort of prostitution of the spirit. The heart of a slave. And that brings us on to further looking at the alternative. Instead of worshipping the babe with the Magi, we could seek to delete the babe with Herod. Delete the babe. Failure to worship because of the way we're made, because of the design magnificence and the creative ingenuity with which we are made, failure to worship the one who did it is never likely to end in mere disinterest. The forces are too great. The subjects are too elevated. The realities are too profound. One of the parties is infinite, just to begin with. Take the case of the high priest Caiaphas in Christ's day on earth. He decided that since many people in Israel might suffer, if Christ's wonders, miracles, raising of the dead, and his plenipotentiary power were permitted to live any longer on this earth, since many might suffer if nobody curbed him, therefore he needed to be murdered. We mustn't allow a danger to exist, must we? We must rather murder the source of power and love and grace and healing and magnificence and words never refuted. We must kill it. That is the attitude to God. That was the opportunity to show it. This was the experiment by which to know it. This is where philosophy can forget it. This is where the science comes in. This is where the laboratory of life shows what man thinks, what he looks at. A little safety requires only the deletion of the babe. That was Herod's approach. Much better to have his dynasty. Much better for you, perhaps, to have your dynasty, your power, your wishes, your desires, your philosophy, your thoughts, your feelings. Slaughter the babe. Get rid of him. Don't let's have all this religious stuff. Never allow people in Adelaide to have these scenes of the nativity. Never in America allow the Ten Commandments to be presented in significant places. Exclude God. Kill the babe. Be rid of it. Be rid of the tradition. Have your president say you're not a Christian nation. Have little things written in small print on rifles about God. Remove. Make sure that no possible suggestion that you love anybody but yourself, your own nation, your own power, your own ideology. Let all that be wiped. Kill the babe. Put in something else. Why not call the Quran with its power works against the spirit of man? Why not call it a good book as Obama did in his Cairo speech and elsewhere? Delete the babe. People who try to remove God as creator and hence Christ, as Colossians 1:15 tells us, he was the Word of God at work as the Trinity did the creation, are killing the image of God in their own hearts. Lenin, as was found out in the Gorbachev sort of era, when things were becoming a little more accessible, was by no means the entirely obvious communist that he was thought to be. But his followers still slaved in subjugation. And so Herod did the same. And so many are doing the same. By subtle means, by legal means, as nearly worked in this country, from which we are saved by the smallest of margins through the grace of God. Again, you may turn away, more or less directly or indirectly, deleting the babe by grieving and just walking away from it all. I remember one chapter did that when I was presenting the things of God at the University of Adelaide, where so few accepted the challenge continually given. That youngster was murdered with an axe, but what he had said was that he would think about it or he'd look at it later. You may walk away grieving, but in so doing you are slaying the image of God such as remains in you, slaying the opportunity for the work of Christ in your midst, slaying the outreaching arms of Christ, and participating in your own way through your own spiritual murder and marring and transfiguring yourself into a psychic wreck. You are murdering the one who made you and murdering the method of mercy, and you're doing it all for what? Well, maybe grieving you walk away. I know one man became a multimillionaire who said the reason he didn't stay in the church was this: it wasn't convenient. So leave it all like someone drugged. Again, some may prefer to be of a divided mind. I never can really make up my mind, you know. It's a very profound subject, isn't it? Yeah. No, I don't actually have faith, they say. That's exactly as in Elijah's day. Elijah was confronting the idolatrizing nation, so like Australia, with its subjection to the slavery of the mind of the college and high school students by the nature myth, just exactly as Israel was doing in Elijah's day. It was called Baal in those days, and it had its own particular way of doing things. We do it a bit differently, not allowing the students to defend their belief in creation. Oh, we are so civilized. So subtle. We want to stupefy them with rubbish. We want to, we don't want to. We do it, despite every warning. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah. What did Elijah say to the people of a divided mind? First of all, he showed the power of God, as has been shown for millennia. And then he said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. How long will you halt between two opinions? I mean, if you're going 100 miles an hour and 100 yards from a brick wall, one would think that you would at least give some thought to the fact that the facts and your fictions are not working. The wall is indeed brick, and there will indeed be a crash. It's no use just putting aside the things of Christ, putting it into some contrary compartment for people who can't stand God, and throwing the key away. Others again, as Judas did, go along the road so far before they crack. But they exclude this or that part of it somewhere, and in the end they betray it. I seem to have specialized in meeting traitors. Their pseudo-divine desires are not satisfied with continuing the entire way in forsaking all to follow Christ. They may come to seek to gain the glory of Christ for themselves rather than to worship him because of it. The attitudes differ, but the babe grew, taking eventually at manhood iniquity, taking iniquity captive in himself, vicariously the victor for man, and breaching death, that just as the eruption came into this world, so the eruption came from the tomb. He can never be found except by his followers. And he grants freedom without price. Ho, all you that thirst, come and buy without money, without price. It's free because he did the work. The work of salvation having been done by Christ, if you ever accept him, there's no question of your falling away. Only if you just sniffed around it and didn't drink. Since he did the work, what in the world have you got to do with breaking it? He's done it. If you receive it, you're a child of God. He that believeth in me has everlasting life, sums it up. But there is no safety from the truth. And so let us come to the final consideration. Where are you? Perhaps you are already a Christian. Perhaps you find weights and pressures, challenges and compromises, church defaults and governmental anti-Christian passion. Perhaps you are finding all this dynamic undesirable, difficult, burdensome, oppressive, demeaning, diminishing. Anti-Christian passion? If you define that term by a characterizable movement against the morals and teaching of Christ at the most basic level, which is certainly the case in South Australia and perhaps other states as well in the instruction media, if you define that term in this way, well, that's what it is. Anti-Christian passion. Delete norms in ethics. Delete norms in morals. Delete objectivity. Regarding the Bible. Create a fable instead. Force people to hold it or to forget about their professional careers or to go through a sort of nebulous situation when at any moment they may be hauled over the coals or have their PhDs failed or have their lectureships cancelled or not even begun. Such is the passion. Don't ask why this and that is happening in the state. The cause is so obvious. What is it like? It's saying, well, we have had 3 atomic bombs, but we still don't understand why financial resources have failed so much. I mean, there were those bombs, yeah, that was all there was. This is done to the word and work of God, to the work of the babe, to the eruption into space and the eruption out of death and the corruption of death so that those who believe Christ might have eternal life on the basis of evidence. This is done, and yet it is said, oh, how are we suffering? Why are we so unwise would be a better question. Why have we been so gross as an enslaving nation, daring to come to little kids up to those in universities and deleting the babe as far in this way or in that as desired, present them with fairy tale fiction and rubbish which has never ever been seen to act visibly, and ignore the fact that the information which has brought the creation and man's DNA into existence is never found to make itself even once without intelligence. And that the Bible says it happened and it ceased. And what we've got is, the stuff is here, you can read it, if you've got that sort of a mind to deal with genetics in that way. And it never comes again, is what the Bible said. It was done and it stopped. What we find, it was done and it stopped. But they will not believe it. They say that other things will do it. Let us see them do it, please. Is science involved when you never, ever, ever see it happen even once? The madness of the man who was interviewing us once on the radio station. We'll have the university bring someone over to show it to you tomorrow. That would have been an historic occurrence. It hasn't ever been done. This is all talking about fairyland and magic. It is never seen. What is required is never found. The instrumentality have never been discovered. This is a fiction and a fable. Watch 1 hour. We Christians have to watch this hour. This is an hour of extreme temptation. I've heard someone say, oh, the people are just saying, what does it matter what they do with marriage and all this? It's sure to come. Let it happen. I want to get on. The babe is deleted. The issue even is deleted. As with Herod, smack all the kids out of existence. We do it with schools. At the spiritual level, he did it at the physical level. Different ways of doing it. When Christ was praying before his crucifixion, on that evening, he went away to pray vigorously. If it be possible, Father, save me from this hour. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do we all do that? You see something, an opportunity or a difficulty. You don't know quite what to do. You see this and that. And then you see what you want to do or what you want to avoid. And Father, if it be possible, grant me this. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. God's like that. He does, in fact, unlike some mothers or fathers, know best. If you want the truth, you want the peace, if you want the joy of heart of reality in the Redeemer, just remember that. God gives the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, to those who obey him. True, it comes as part of your inheritance when you become a Christian. But if you want to walk with a way like a ship that can't be deterred and moves past all the dangers and rocks, the tempestuous temptations which might otherwise needlessly assail you, remember this. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Here is where there is the blessedness of the power and the presence. Are you doing what you're supposed to do in the way that you're supposed to do it for the reason that you're supposed to have? And this is a friendship. God even condescends to say, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so the disciples were sleeping when Christ was about to go, having his prayers. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? This Christmas hour. Are you going to make a testimony of Jesus Christ wherever you go? Are you going to make clear what Christmas is about as you have opportunity? Will you watch 1 hour as your children grow up? Or as you face different areas of life? Will you make the testimony of Christ as abundantly clear as you can? Can you watch 1 hour? Are you going to subordinate yourself to what is sure to happen in the lives of unfaith, disfaith? Or are you going to stand for the truth and say, whatever you do, whatever you think, you'll contrary to reason and revelation, and I will never walk that way. You're harassing your psyche. You're subordinating your soul. You have no reason for what you desire. You're following a fashion to your own eternal loss. Do it if you wish. Could you not watch with me one half? We have to be straightforward with people. They're on their way to ruin. We have to be, to use the words of Jeremiah 9:3, and he was lamenting the absence of this, valiant for the truth. Valiant for the truth. We must learn to smile at adversity. Those who live in a godly fashion must suffer persecution. We must learn to live until the Antichrist comes, if the Lord spares us so long, before our grand exit when the Lord calls his people to himself. Erupting us from this world and bringing us to himself. Before in his great majesty, with all his saints, as we read in 1 Thessalonians and Zechariah 14, with all his saints, he comes to this world as the bearers of unbelief, eventually, after the millennium of peace, to vindicate his victory. We come to the assizes. We're getting nearer and nearer to the assignment of the assizes. Not for World War II anti-human acts, but for all the anti-God acts that have gone on for several thousand years since the creation. We're getting near the time when the assault predicted on Israel, as in Micah, as in Ezekiel, extends beyond feverish words and the deluded come as if to exterminate, and in the process are exterminated, as in Micah, as in Haggai. They press on so that their rupture might be complete in the answer of God. Isaiah 66, Revelation 19, there are illustrations. This Christmas then, be fearless and faithful. Turn aside for none. Speak the truth. Give testimony liberally. And be cheered with the presence of Christ. Strengthened with might in the inner man, Ephesians 3:16. When you see what God wants, do it. Why deliberate forever? If it is written, do it. Did not Christ? Don't defend me, he says to Peter. Must not the scriptures be fulfilled when he is taken captive, that thus it must be? If it is written, whether it's for your pleasure or profit, or whether it appears to be the opposite, do it. Could you not watch for me 1 hour? Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word which is truth, and for your work which is holy, and for your babe, Jesus Christ, who growing has done all that is necessary for our redemption, if by faith we but receive it for you. We thank you for grace. We thank you for that babe. A glorious work beyond all laboratories for all time. When you yourself became man that we might be brought freely to God. We thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.